You're listening to the Wobcast with the one and only, the legendary, the insurmountable Wobby.
All right, everyone, welcome back. Another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Not inside TCO Studios at Winter Park. We're using a different room at Winter Park because TCO Studios literally is being packed up and torn down as we get ready to head to Eagan. But per usual, my sidekick, my co-host, and the Wobcast producer, Chris Corso, is here. What up, Chrissy?
What's up, Bobby? We're in a little corner office in Winter Park,
yeah,
and it's crazy. It's weird seeing all the boxes and all the coaches are out today, so you see just all the vacant rooms, and it's just it's a little eerie in
here. It's strange because you know, next week we're going to be at, you know, it's the combine, and a part of VEN is going to the combine, and we're going to provide coverage of the combine. But it's weird because we're also moving out of Winter Park that week. So kind of the people who are going to the combine are moving out now.
Yep.
And we're moving into the new facility when we get back from the combine. It's just a very strange week.
We'll get to more about the combine.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have a few questions from the fans coming up later in the show.
Yep.
But what is it like for you, real quick, just to kind of move out of here? You've been here for a long time.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge bummer. And it's not about Eagan. Like, Eagan is going to be cool and awesome and state-of-the-art. I get all that. And we should be excited about it. And I saw you guys posted a photo gallery, I think yesterday, maybe.
Yep, the indoor practice facility was just completed.
Sick.
So
yeah, I mean, the goalpost hanging from the ceiling.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, it's super cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is home.
That's right.
This is home for 13 years for yours truly. So
that's
it's weird.
Change is tough.
It is tough, especially for Midwesterners and Minnesotans. You know, we don't like change that much. And you know, me especially, I hate it. So it's tough. It's no fun. This has been a good building for a long time. And, you know, it's no fun to move away from your home, from a home that you like. But it is exciting to go to Eagan.
Absolutely. I've only been here 3 years and it already feels like home. So
yeah, right. Yeah. So, you know, anyway, that's what's going on. But the people listening, you know, they care more about, like, you know, the team and the combine and what's coming up. So we're going to talk combine and we're going to be at the combine next week. But today's Wobcast, Chris, is more focused on what comes immediately after the combine.
That's right.
Free agency. Specifically, a position in free agency that everyone's going to be talking about at the combine and after the combine for the Vikings. Quarterback.
I took a look this week at 15 of the free agent quarterbacks. So we're going to go through. We're not going to give everybody the same amount of time and love because some of the guys towards the bottom of the list are definitely not as notable. But there are a lot of quarterbacks, including three of our own, that will be free agents come March 14th if we do not apply the franchise tag to one of our quarterbacks in the next few weeks. So we're going to take a look at that later in the show. But first, we'll take a look at some news and notes.
All right, let's do that. What do you got?
All right, starting out, the Vikings added another coach to the staff this week as the team hired an Eden Prairie native, Todd Downing, as the senior offensive assistant. He'll turn 38 in July and was most recently the offensive coordinator of the Oakland Raiders. So it's another coordinator type on the offense here. He actually earned a coaching contract at the beginning of his career at age 21 from Mike Tice, and that
was here in Minnesota, at
Winter Park. So that was pretty cool. He's worked as an intern and coaching assistant for a few years here until 2005 with the Vikings. So it's kind of a homecoming for him here. So that was pretty cool.
It's totally a homecoming because he's from Eden Prairie, you know, really. So although we are moving to Eagan, I guess. But Todd said, you know, I've had a chance to catch up with him. I've met him before and kind of reacquainting myself with him now. You know, he mentioned it was weird coming here to interview. Coming back to Winter Park to interview.
I bet.
You know, and I said to him, like, it's pretty cool how the timing worked out for you. You got one more week at Winter Park, you know,
it's
before
great.
We head out of here, you know. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, it is so weird that the last team to use the facility was Brady, Belichick, and the Patriots, too, you know. And so we had a chuckle about that. But I'm excited about the hire. Young, energetic, fresh ideas. experience working with young quarterbacks and developing them, because he was there for them to draft Derek Carr and develop Derek. And so I'm excited about the addition of Todd Downing on a personal and professional level. I think that'll be good for the Vikings. And we always say you can never, I'm never against adding a talented player, and I don't think you should ever be against adding a talented coach. And that's what Downing is. So welcome to the mix, Todd Downing. Excited to have him here.
The next big news was something you already touched on, and that was the construction milestone this week at the Twin Cities Orthopedic Center. You can find this content on Vikings.com. As the indoor practice facility, the field was actually completed in the building. The last turf was laid down. Our Zach Royce wrote an article on that on the website, and we have some photos as well as a video kind of updating the construction, so that was really cool to see.
Yeah, it is cool, and the thing's coming together, and ready or not, we're moving in there in a couple weeks, and I think it's going to be more ready than not, and the parts that aren't ready are going to be ready very quickly, and I think there's an official like grand opening for the public later in the summer, right?
So, yeah.
It's kudos to everyone who's been working hard on the construction of it, on the design of it, on the interior, on the Grant and the guys working on the fields and the turf, and just everyone, really a lot of work coming to a head here as the team gets ready to move in there. And it's an exciting time, and it's something we talked with John DeFilippo about when we interviewed him this week.
That's right. Wobby had an exclusive interview with our new offensive coordinator on Wednesday afternoon, so that was really cool to get him to sit down. He was actually, you noted this in the video, it was pretty cool that he's the last interview in TCO Studios down there. That's pretty cool considering all the people you've interviewed down there and we've been able to talk to, and all the players and coaches and staff that have come down there. So we're going to hear from him right now. And I kind of like the way you ended this segment, kind of saying... Yeah. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, we'll let bygones be bygones. Yeah, we're not going to hold a grudge on him.
That's right.
For that NFC title game thing. He's a good dude, man. He was fun to interview, and I know you got it cut up here, so let's take a listen.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back into TCO Studios at Winter Park, where we have a special guest, we have a first, and we have a last. This is the last interview that we will do inside TCO Studios at Winter Park as we head to Eagan very soon. But it's new offensive coordinator John DeFilippo's first interview and first time in the studio. Welcome, Coach.
Thanks for having me. I tell you, it's an honor to be here. And the fact that I'm the last guy to have an interview in this studio. There have been a lot of great players and coaches interviewed in this studio, so it's an honor to be here.
That's true. We're going to ask you to turn the lights out on your way out the door. All right?
No doubt.
All right. Welcome to Minnesota. For fans watching, listening, who maybe don't know John DeFilippo, the football guy, what are some principles of your style or your scheme that you want the offense to embody next season?
But the number one thing is creating explosive pass gains and explosive run gains. And how do you do that? You do that by putting your best playmakers in space and in positions for them to make plays. So I think you're going to see our players move around a bunch of different spots. I think you're going to see us pre-snap move and shift some. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see us try to create as many mismatches as we can with the guys that can make a play with the ball in their hands.
Yeah, and we won't get into specific ideas or players, but when you're surveying places that want you to come and be the offensive coordinator, what was it about Minnesota that you liked?
Well, first off, coming from Philadelphia, we had played them 3 weeks prior to the Super Bowl in the NFC Championship game. So preparing for this football team was not easy. Mm-hmm. Okay, it wasn't easy from a defensive standpoint. And then offensively, talking to our defensive coaches, there are a lot of players on this side of the football that can make plays. So, I had a lot of opportunities this offseason to go to certain spots and, was planning on staying in Philadelphia, until Minnesota called. So it was really neat when they called.
What's it like to win a Super Bowl?
It's pretty. Honestly, it's just starting to sink in.
Really,
it really is. And this is a few weeks, post game. It's just starting to sink in when you really have a chance to rest after the season, rest your mind a little bit after the season, and realize the journey it takes to get there. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of ups and downs. I mean, in the regular season, the Vikings and the Eagles both won 13 games. Both had fantastic seasons. But there's still some ups and downs in the course of that season, even though you win 13 games. So the journey, the camaraderie that you have between the players, the coaches, everyone in the building is just really special.
Are you are you loud? Are you a yeller? Are you calm? What's your style with the players at practice?
I like to be upbeat and positive.
Yeah.
Now, if there's a time where, it's not going so good and I'm the leader of the offense And there's times you got to get after it a little bit. But for the most part, you know, I like to, you know, coach with a lot of passion, energy, and swagger, and that's the way I want our guys to play.
You know, you mentioned preparing for the Vikings in the NFC Championship game. You know, you're going to go against Mike Zimmer and his defensive staff now every day in practice. What's that going to be like?
It's going to be great because here's why I look at it. Number one, it's going to force us to have all the answers. Yeah. And when you face Coach Zimmer's defenses, you better have all the answers to protections, to hots, to sights, to what you're doing because you're going to get tested. He's going to, as soon as you adjust to him, he's going to adjust to something else to take away what you just adjusted to with him.
Right.
So I look at it as a positive for our offense because we get to go against probably is not the best defense in the league every day. Yeah. So it's going to make us better.
Yeah. You're going to go into a new facility, as we mentioned at the top of the interview in Eagan. I remember in 2010 when we were stuck in Philadelphia because of a long snowstorm. We had to practice at the Eagles facility one day. But what's it like to have a state-of-the-art facility? What does that mean to a football team as you prepare for a season? And then in season, you prepare each week.
You know, it's an incredible thing to have. Number one, I mean, I was over there touring it the other day, and it's incredible. I mean, you can punt inside, and the indoor is ginormous.
Yeah.
And there's going to be plenty of space. And, you know, the thing about it is you want the players to have a place where they want to stay, and they want to hang around each other, because that builds camaraderie on a football team.
Yeah.
And when those guys have a welcoming place to stay, a place where they can go recover and you know, snack bar and a beautiful weight room, beautiful indoor, you know, all those things.
Brand new studio, right?
Brand
new
studio.
Come and talk to the camera.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it, those guys want to stick around. And,
yeah.
and the more they stick around, the more they hang around each other, and that helps build team. So something as big as a project as that was and as beautiful it is, it can really, really help team camaraderie.
Yeah. Who raised you as a coach? Who do you remember coming up with in the coaching ranks, or maybe a head coach that you really admired? Anyone like that?
Well, from a head coaching standpoint, the guy I really admire a lot of was Tom Coughlin, and he was the head coach of the Giants when I first got into the league in 2005 and 2006. And I felt like coming into the league under Coach Coughlin was the perfect way for me to come into the NFL. I mean, the accountability was stressed, hard work was stressed, staying in your lane, doing the job to your best of your ability. And I think all those traits that I just mentioned, I think are really integral parts of having a winning football team. And those are traits that I've tried to take with me each place I've gone. And then from a position coach, coordinator standpoint, Greg Knapp had a huge, huge impact on me. He's now the quarterback coach in Atlanta. Was a longtime OC in the league and really kind of took me under his wing. And he is a really, really good quarterback coach and a really good coordinator. So Greg Knapp was that guy.
Yeah. Well, you're going to see a lot of those familiar faces at the Combine.
Yes.
Next week. And after that, we'll have free agency, pro days, the draft. The offseason circuit is going. But I have a feeling your favorite part of it will be when all of your players come back to the building and you can get your hands on them and the scheme and get going in practice.
There's no doubt. And watching tape on college guys and free agents and stuff is part of the process, and it's a lot of fun, and it's part of the process. But at the same time, as a coach, there's nothing like getting on the field and working with guys and watching guys get better. There's no better feeling than getting on the field and watching these guys execute and you know, play to the best of their ability.
Yeah. See, he's a good guy, everyone. We won't hold a grudge against you for that thing in the NFC title game. Okay?
Hey, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm wearing purple now.
Yeah,
so,
looks good on you, too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right. Thanks for your time, Coach. Welcome to Minnesota.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
All right, there's a guy you're going to hear a lot from here at Vikings.com, the Vikings Entertainment Network, the Wobcast, probably some of our TV shows, new offensive coordinator John DeFilippo, energetic guy, eager guy, awesome to have him aboard, right?
I think in the interview there, we noted on it in the conference call last week when he was introduced to the media how energetic and excited he was just to be talked to by the Vikings, and then now you got the chance to speak with him yesterday, and I think he was even more impressive seeing him on camera. So.
Yep, pretty awesome to have him. All right, let's go to the next topic, and that is quarterbacks and free agency. Now, free agency will begin on March 14th. That's after the combine. There will be a 3-day negotiating window before that. That will sort of be the unofficial launch of free agency. Then free agency officially begins on March 14th. So all the Vikings who are scheduled to be free agents and all these quarterbacks that we're going to talk about now technically are still under contract with their team. So people like Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman and John DeFilippo, they can't really talk about these players like Kirk Cousins, you know, because they are property of another team for now, you know, so it's tampering for those guys to talk about these guys.
Yep.
And we kind of fall in that gray area. So we're going to try and walk the line here of just talking about these quarterbacks, not necessarily whether the Vikings should or should not be interested. We'll leave that up to the listeners. You and I are just going to kind of go through the list, the guys who are scheduled to be free agents. Now, these guys could reach contract agreements with their teams before the launch of free agency, like Drew Brees is going to be on this list. Very well could sign a deal with the Saints before he ever hits the market. But for the purposes of this discussion, these are the guys who are scheduled to be free agents. We'll take a look at a couple of them, given the Vikings have an interesting quarterback situation coming up here in free agency. So take it away, Chrissy.
Yeah, well, we're going to start with just listening to the NFL Network discussion that was on one of their shows this week. They just talked about the possibility of using the franchise tag on Case Keenum as the Vikings are concerned, as he's the first quarterback on the list. So we'll take a listen to that, and then we'll come back and talk about the three Vikings quarterbacks that will be scheduled to be free agents if that happens on March 14th. So let's take a listen.
What about Case Keenum, Jason? And it's important to note before we start this conversation that all three of the quarterbacks there in Minnesota are unrestricted free agents, sign, tag, or release.
Well, this is a tough one because he has such a great year, but I'm going to say go ahead and release him. Let him go out in the free agent market and see what he can get. Look, the guy had an amazing year last year, really caught lightning in a bottle, but if you take the 11 wins he had last year, that's more than his starts in the previous five years, which is only nine. I mean, he had a lot of help around him, a really good defense, good receivers around him. Offensive coordinator is gone now, so let him go out and test the free agent market. He has earned himself a payday. Good luck to him.
Good luck. Bye.
I say that with all due respect, Case. You're going to get paid either way.
All right, well, that is going to be a tough decision for our front office to make.
Sure.
Like we said, we're not here to make any decisions. We're not here to grade any of these guys. We're just laying out the facts of their careers. Mm-hmm. It was fun to just go through and do this research and just see kind of just their statistics comparing some of these guys. Like, for instance, Case Keenum, 30 years old. I didn't realize that him and Sam Bradford were the same age.
I didn't
know
that either.
They're both 30 years old.
Yeah.
So. That was interesting. Obviously, Case Keenum had a great season last year, winning all those games with the Vikings. He has 6 seasons of experience, 41 games, 38 games started. His QB record took a nice boost this year, and he's up to 20-18-0. Looking at the year he had, these statistics, this was a great year with the Vikings. Yeah. He threw for over 3,500 yards, 22 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions.
Yep. That's nice, man.
That was good.
That's how you win 13 games.
That's how you win 13 games and make it to how far the Vikings did this year. He had a 67.6 completion percentage in the 15 games he played. Now, the beginning of his career was not what he did last year.
Right.
So that's something.
And that's the sticking point with him, right? That's why people who are 80% on board with him, that's why they're not 100. And people who are not on board with him, that's why they're not. Is the 1 year wonder question, you know? And like my wife is a huge Case Keenum fan. He's like, yeah, this is the best team he's been on. Look, funny, look what happened. You put him on a good team, he's a good player. Like,
exactly.
So why don't you think it will happen again? You know, that's the other side of that. It's just fascinating that, you know, as he's scheduled to hit free agency, he's coming off a career season, you know?
Looking at some of the other teams he played for, as you noted, not the best teams. He played for the Houston Texans in a few years back or so when they weren't really the best offensive team. He played for the St. Louis Rams, who then went to L.A., the Los Angeles Rams, and he also played at a college, not a big school college at the University of Houston, but obviously had so much success there where he is the leading NCAA passing leader for yards and touchdowns, which is, I bring that up all the time because it's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's Case Keenum. Obviously, he's the one that's most fresh in our minds because of the season he had.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't just speaking generically, if you're just a team and it's the quarterback lottery and you get Case Keenum, like, that's all right.
Yeah,
that's fine. Like, you're cool with that. You know, I mean, Case did a lot of great things for the Vikings last season in a tough situation. You know, I mean, he came in not the starter. He was battling to be the backup with Taylor Heinicke
in
training camp.
Yeah, that was the big matchup that we always previewed. Yeah,
and he ends up taking his team to the NFC title game. Remarkable story for Case Keenum in 2017.
The next quarterback we're going to go over, and this is one that you won't remember as well, but he was the opening game starter for the Vikings, and that's Sam Bradford. Same age as Case at 30 years old. He's a little bit taller of a quarterback at 6'4". he had a spectacular season in 2016, the year before, when we were 8-8 on the season, but he was unbelievable.
Yeah, he set an NFL record for completion percentage.
Yeah. So he comes in and has a great start to the season. Obviously, the performance he had against the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football to open up the season opened up eyes around the league. And then he goes down with an injury, which was really tough, but it did open up the path for Case. So what most people will remember is what he did, what he did not do, but you got to think about what he did when he was on the field before he got injured. Looking at his career record, he's 34-45-1 all time. He didn't have as much success as a quarterback in those early days with the St. Louis Rams.
Right.
So.
Super talented. Looks like your franchise quarterback, the prototypical quarterback. Tall, broad-shouldered, big arm, smart, accurate, you know, cool as a cucumber, the whole thing. I mean, so for him, you know, again, looking at it generically, if you're just a random team, you know, it's with Case, is it a one-year wonder? With Sam, it's not a talent thing. You know that he can do it.
Yeah.
It's can he stay healthy, right?
Yeah,
that's the thing with him.
And that's what comes with him. It's tough to not take that into consideration. And I'm sure, I mean, we're not the experts here, but I'm sure that would go into your reasoning for signing him or not signing him. So, to the next guy, and this is a tough one because it's Teddy Bridgewater. He's 5 years younger than the previous two quarterbacks that we just mentioned, which many people don't even realize how young he is.
Yeah.
Which is great. He came in the league as a 22, 23-year-old. A couple years into the league, he's only 25 after that. It was just a grueling injury that he went through in the offseason. Now, what was that? A year and a half ago now that happened?
Yeah.
He's an athletic quarterback. Obviously, the knee is tough after the injury that he suffered. But his QB record with the Vikings, 17-11-0 as a starter with the Vikings. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, a guy that everyone likes. You know, I think players kind of gravitate toward him. He's, he's charismatic, and he's certainly a guy that it's easy to root for him. You know, and he's obviously fought really hard to come back from his injury. So, and he's a guy who's won a division title as a starting quarterback, and basically helped us win a playoff game against the Seattle Seahawks, if not for a missed field goal.
That's right.
After he drove us down into position. So a lot to like about Teddy Bridgewater. And see, this is the good, you know, the thing about these three quarterbacks that we've talked about so far, and this is going to pick up. We're going to go faster as we go down the list here, but we've spent the most time on the three Vikings, Keenum, Bradford, and Bridgewater. And, you know, there's ambiguity about what the Vikings are going to do at quarterback. You and I don't know what they're going to do.
No.
And people listening don't know what they're going to do. And it's unsettling to be a 13-3 team coming off a division title and not know who your quarterback's going to be for the following season. I get it. That is unsettling. Here's the good news, though. From what you've heard so far and what you're about to hear after we move on from Teddy, the cupboard's not bare. It's not like you're void of options. Right?
Absolutely. I mean, this is the off season of the quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, so there are options, you know, for teams who are looking for quarterbacks. And these three that we just mentioned, those are three good options. And we have more to get to, and we're going to do that right now.
For sure. Those are the three Vikings quarterbacks. And now we're going to go to the big name of free agency, not just for the Vikings, but for many teams. There's a lot of teams out there that need a quarterback. I mean, the New York Jets, the Arizona Cardinals, the Indianapolis Colts, the Cleveland Browns. There's just so many teams out there that there's that spot is open on their roster. So even the New York Giants with Eli Manning kind of towards the end of his career as well, might look towards a quarterback for either in the draft or wherever. So this is going to be a clip that we're going to play from Mike Garofolo from NFL Network. He thinks that, and this is his words, he thinks that Kirk Cousins would be perfectly fit right here in Minnesota with the Vikings.
He does, so, huh?
This is what he thinks. It was pretty intriguing. We posted this on the site a few days ago, so we'll let you take a listen and see kind of what his ideas are for Kirk in Minnesota.
Went to the Vikings, so let's go to the Vikings here. You really think, because this was talked about, during Super Bowl week in Minneapolis that maybe he was the dark horse, that the Vikings would wipe their books clean of all three of the other guys and say, Kirk Cousins, come on down, stay in the NFC, and come in the hyper-competitive NFC North.
Right. And look, let me take this, because I'll say that there's been some talk about would Cousins take less to go somewhere, because I know that there's a report out there from Rich Cimini with ESPN saying that the Jets are willing to pay whatever it takes for Kirk Cousins. The Jets are going to be strong suitors for Kirk Cousins. We had mentioned that for sure. But there's going to be a point where $31 million versus $30 million, something like that. Now, there's not going to be a huge spread if Cousins does wind up taking less, but that Viking situation could be extremely luring for Kirk Cousins, because now he's looking at the potential to go up there and have Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Kyle Rudolph, and to work with John DeFilippo, who, as the quarterback's coach with the Eagles, did wonders for Nick Foles and Carson Wentz, along with Frank Reich and Doug Peterson, for sure. So I do believe their situation, their targets, that situation is going to be very alluring for Kirk Cousins, Ian.
Dalvin Cook and a big defense, and you're in the Midwest. I mean, it sounds good.
Right. It sounds good. No, it's all good. That would be a fantastic spot, really, honestly, for any quarterback. The problem the Vikings have, though, is timing. They need to make a decision on Case Keenum. Do they franchise tag him or not before free agency begins, before they can even officially find out whether or not Kirk Cousins would be interested in them? So either they do things which are certainly not allowed for teams to do, which is have potential conversations on someone who may become a free agent, or take a leap of faith and say, we're going to move on for Case Keenum and hopefully get someone better, which would be a huge leap of faith just to move on without any assurances on a quarterback who got him to the NFC title game.
Yeah, and one who pulled a miracle out of his hat there with Stephon Diggs to get them to that game and started well. They had the early lead there in Philadelphia before everything fell apart.
All right, Chris, I'm going to be in Indy next week. So is Garofalo. So we're going to grill him on this.
If
he gives us a few minutes to interview him at the Indiana Convention Center in downtown Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine on Radio Row. We're going to ask him about it and just see what ask him to expound a little bit, elaborate.
Yeah, that would be awesome just to hear. I would really love to hear him speak to you about it, because he'll be talking straight to the source.
Yeah, right.
So that would be interesting.
You know, Cousins is going to be the name that everyone talks about in Indy. I mean, tampering or not, like, you mentioned the teams that may need quarterbacks, like those coaches and GMs are going to have pressers at the combine.
Yep.
And the people who are asking questions are going to ask them about Kirk Cousins, and they're going to have to say, he's under contract with the Redskins, I can't really comment on him. But this is the name that everyone's going to throw out there. People listening know who he is. We've played against them at least 3 times in the last 4 years, believe. We know what he is. You've got the numbers and stats and figures here. Very productive player. My Kirk Cousins story, Chris, is the Vikings coached this. I think I've told you this. We coached the Senior Bowl in 2012 when Cousins came out, and we coached the North Squad. So I was down in Mobile for that, because our staff is coaching him. So we covered it, and Cousins was one of the 3 quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's great.
Him and Russell Wilson and Kellen Moore.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, those were the 3 quarterbacks for Leslie Frazier's coaching staff down there at the combine. So
what were your thoughts on him then?
I was cleaning out my office, for this move to Eagan, and like going through some old draft books. I couldn't find 2012's notebook, which stinks, because I wanted to read what I wrote about Cousins. But I went back and looked at some of the articles that we wrote, and the common theme, I think, was like always on target and always on time. But not like the Ben Roethlisberger cannon, or the Aaron Rodgers velocity, like not that, but on time and on the mark, and there's value in that.
Yeah, so. For sure. Obviously, he was a guy that did not come out as a top starter in the league. I mean, he was behind Robert Griffin with the Redskins at the beginning of his career. He was the backup. And then Griffin goes down and gets hurt, and after winning Rookie of the year before, and then that's when Cousins came in, and he never gave up the job. He came in and played well. He's 29 years old. He's been in the league for 6 years, so he's started a decent amount of games, 57 games. His QB record's 26-30-1. So, I mean, last year they were 7-9 in the regular season. So,
yeah, isn't that strange that it's a sub 500 record?
It kind of is, because we, when when the Vikings played the Redskins, they put up a fighting. I mean, yeah, they scored a lot of points.
Scored 30 points.
Yeah, that was probably one of the best offensive efforts against the Vikings defense all, definitely during the regular season. So he threw for over 4,000 yards last year, 27 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. So he did put up some numbers last. That would have been that would be nice to have for the Vikings. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And he's had a good career. 99 touchdowns, 55 interceptions on his career. He's been a 65.5 completion percentage throughout his career. So he's proven he can do it, and that's why he's going to get paid the big bucks probably this offseason.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, probably. You know, the Redskins traded for Alex Smith, which kind of puts the writing on the wall for Kirk Cousins, right?
Yeah.
So we'll be interesting to see what happens with him.
Moving on to the next guy. This is... probably a player that might not be available.
I'm guessing not.
Yeah.
Right? I mean.
Yeah, we throw him on the list because he is a free agent technically, and that's Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints. I mean, going through some of the numbers, it was fun to put these numbers down on paper. And then when I put Drew Brees' career stats on paper,
yes.
I sit next to Zach Royce, or who runs our social media for the Vikings, and I said to him, I said, he's got to have like the best stats of any quarterback all time.
Right.
And then we started looking at it, and yeah, he has like the best stats of any quarterback all time. So, yeah. Thrown for over 70,000 yards in his career, 488 touchdowns, 228 interceptions, and this is the one that really stood out, the 66.9 completion percentage, and that's the top for all passers who have thrown a certain amount of passes.
Is it really?
In the history of the NFL, he's at the top of the list.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah he's good.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
How about how good he was in the second half of the playoff game against us?
He was...
surgical.
Yeah, he figured something out, and he ran with it. And he obviously has some really good running backs, but also a few good wide receivers. And man, did he figure it out. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah, he's nice. And he's going to be a Saint next year. That's my prediction.
I would say so as well. He's come out and said himself that he wants to retire New Orleans Saint. Yeah. So, yeah, but he is a free agent, so we wanted to touch on that, and it was cool to go over his numbers for a 39-year-old quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
Next, we have another NFL Network segment.
Okay.
And this is Ian Rappaport reporting to NFL Network on one of the shows that they have, and he said, don't sleep on the Vikings, looking at quarterback A.J. McCarron.
The backup in Cincinnati, you say?
He was the backup in Cincinnati, and he won a grievance with the Cincinnati Bengals, which in turn made him an unrestricted free agent as opposed to being a restricted free agent. So he will be an unrestricted free agent heading into March 14th, and he can sign wherever he pleases. So that opens up the path for teams to start looking at his tape and deciding if he's worth pursuing. So we'll listen to Ian Rappaport and see what he has to say about the connection with the Vikings.
Well, the Bengals in the NFL knew that A.J. McCarron's case was a good one, and it basically boils down to this. He was put on the non-football injury list as a rookie, despite the fact, Dan, that he had passed a physical after the draft. Then he was kept on that list for longer than he should have. So obviously, the independent arbitrator agreed, declared that A.J. McCarron will be a free agent in March, also got back pay for 2014 because he was on the NFI and was not earning his full salary. As far as places he could go, obviously keep an eye on the Cleveland Browns. They tried to trade for him during this past season, expected to be interested again. Don't sleep on the Vikings, too. They do have big-time quarterback questions. They could franchise tag Case Keenum, but if they don't, McCarron could be their guy.
When it comes to buzzworthy topics on Radio Row at the Combine, A.J. McCarron number two behind Kirk Cousins, for sure. Yeah, I mean, all those talk show hosts that are there, PA in charge, are going to be there. Like, everyone's going to be talking about Cousins and McCarron. So get used to it and have an opinion on it. But, you know, this topic of conversation is not going away for the next 3 weeks. Those are the two quarterbacks that everyone's going to be talking about, not just with the Vikings, but with any team who's looking for a quarterback. You know, and that pretty much does it. You know, we gave for like, I guess what you would say, the buzzy names, right? All three Vikings: Keenum, Bridgewater, Bradford, and then Cousins, Breeze, McCarron.
Yeah.
You know, the rest are names that, you know, won't sell a bunch of tickets or get people to go to the apparel store and buy jerseys.
Absolutely.
But as you pointed out, Chris, before we started taping, no one thought the Case Keenum signing was any good when it happened.
When we signed Case Keenum, it was like, oh, okay, you got another quarterback on the roster. You'll just throw him,
right,
who knows, third on the depth chart. And look where that ended up. So that's why I thought it was probably a good idea to just go over some of the names towards the bottom.
Let's
of the
do
list
it. So we'll go through these, not like rapid fire, but we won't go as in depth as we did with the first six names. So let's start with.
Next on the list is Jay Cutler, who Vikings fans are very, very familiar with.
Yeah.
A 34-year-old quarterback. He's been in the league for 12 seasons, most with the Chicago Bears, as well as the Denver Broncos before that. And he most recently played for the Miami Dolphins. His career record, 74-79. And obviously, he's had a lot of success in this league as a quarterback.
Yeah, you hear scouts or analysts use the term arm talent a lot. I bet you that they would say Jay Cutler's got arm talent. Like he just really seems like a talented thrower. And I like his fearlessness and all that. And I don't know if he's going to play next year or not, but we've seen Jay Cutler make a lot of really good throws against the Vikings, he was in Miami, as you said, last year. Interesting name to put on the list. So is this next one, by the way. Not joking. Because in Tampa Bay, they call him Fitzmagic.
Yeah.
That's what they call him.
They called him that in New York as well.
Okay.
He had the best passing season for a New York Jet.
Crazy.
And that was at the end of his career. That was 2 years ago.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And they never signed him. They let him go. And now he's in Tampa Bay. And he will be a free agent again. 35 years old. He carved out a pretty nice career for himself.
Yeah, I'd say so. For sure. I mean, made some money, won some games, had some dramatic moments, got to play in New York, played in Buffalo. I had a crazy beard. Might still have it.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's cool, man. And isn't he from like Harvard or something?
Yeah, he's a Harvard graduate. Yeah. It's pretty crazy looking at this. He played 13 seasons in the NFL, which, I mean, man, he's threw for over 25,000 yards, 26,000 yards, 173 touchdowns, 136 interceptions. So he carved out a pretty nice career, played for like five teams.
Yeah.
And yeah, he'll be a free agent. Probably not the worst backup option for a team to have. And we saw that here last year. Having a backup, having two backups was huge. So, he's on the list as well.
All right. Next is Chase Daniel, who, like, I almost couldn't remember if he was a Saint last year or an Eagle, because I feel like he played for the Eagles recently. Also was with the Chiefs. So here's a guy who's backed up some good quarterbacks.
Yeah, he's been a backup his whole career. Did not get many appearances last year. He played in one game, but never threw a pass. He really hasn't been a starter at any point, but he has been in the league for eight seasons, and he's backed up a lot of good quarterbacks and been in a lot of good schemes. So he's another guy that's trusted as a backup in this league, and he had a lot of success as a college player at the University of Missouri. So, he's just another backup option out there, probably.
All right, Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert. He had so much promise coming out.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he was a big-time prospect when he was coming out and was drafted pretty high by the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he's been in the league for seven seasons now. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Back-to-back former University of Missouri Tigers. That's where Chase Daniel went.
That's right.
And I'm guessing Daniel was there, and then Gabbert was the next starter, I'm guessing.
Yep.
And here they are. They're both free agents this year. Brock Osweiler.
Brock Osweiler has a Super Bowl ring.
What?
Yeah, he has a Super Bowl ring with the Denver Broncos.
Oh, my gosh, because he was Manning's backup.
Yeah. So
wow.
That got him a big contract to Houston a few years back. And then he was dropped from Houston, and now he's back with Denver last season. And he'll be a free agent come March 14th. And he's still only 27 years old. But the thing with him is he's a really tall, 6'7" frame quarterback.
He'd be a good ringer on your pickup basketball team on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, that would be nice.
If he signed here.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm sure Spielman would be really okay with him playing on your pickup basketball team. all right, finally, I think this is the last one, right? Or you got others after this?
There's
one?
A few more.
Oh, you got a few more after this. All right, TJ Yates.
TJ Yates, another quarterback who hasn't had that much appearances in the past few years in the NFL, and been with the Houston Texans a few years. 4-6 is his QB record.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of the guy backing up Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson in Houston the past few years. So he's another one that's
Tom Savage that's also on this list.
Yeah, we were talking about him in college. He played at Rutgers and Pitt. And he was kind of a small school guy and ended up, he was the starter week one for the Houston Texans last year until they went to Deshaun Watson. And obviously Deshaun Watson took over there. So he's a 27-year-old and he'll be available as well.
Like to get some of your friends who are New York Jets fans on the podcast to talk about the next one.
Yeah,
Geno Smith.
That would be a lot of fun. We were actually talking about him before just because, yeah, he's a free agent again. He was started off with the New York Jets, was the replacement for Mark Sanchez, and had so much promise, and that was kind of the downfall of Rex Ryan in New York. And yeah, he never really had too much success. He threw a lot of interceptions as a quarterback for the Jets, and then he spent the last few seasons with the Giants playing backup to Eli Manning, and he actually started one game for the Giants last year. So
he was fun to watch in college, man.
He was at West Virginia.
Geno Smith was a stud. I mean, maybe he still is. I've never been around him, but I mean, that guy at West Virginia was nice.
Yeah, he had those quick wide receivers. I don't know if we were saying Tavon Austin or Kevin White. It might have been, but yeah, he hasn't found success yet in the league.
Yeah.
But we'll see if a team gives him another shot come free agency. And then the last one is a veteran, and that's Chad Henne out of Michigan. He's been in the league for a long time now. Played as a starter for the Miami Dolphins earlier in his career, and then he's been with Jacksonville the past few years, backing up Blake Bortles. So he's the last one. That's 15 quarterbacks
mm-hmm.
that round out the list of free agent quarterbacks.
Yeah, and so that'll all kind of start to happen. A little bit of buzz at the combine, then we get back from the combine, and the 3-day negotiating window is the unofficial start of free agency, and then things get rolling on March 14th. When the new league year begins. All right. One of our favorite things to do is take some fan mail. So we got three questions. Let's start with Randy. Chrissy, what's he got to say?
All right. Randy says, with all the talk about the Vikings considering Kirk Cousins, I am concerned, especially with the productivity of Case Keenum that he showed last season. If the Vikings were to go after Cousins, they would have to pay a higher salary to that position with more guaranteed money, potentially reducing the options to resign the current players in the next few years. This strategy has not been successful for other teams in the past.
It hasn't?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I also think about the locker room chemistry that plays a major role in the team's success from both Case and Teddy, and they have proven to fit very well. Am I missing something? Says Randy.
No, I mean, that's it. I mean, this is what teams have to think about.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're weighing your options. And there's more to it than what Randy just stated. But, I mean, Randy's not off the mark. I mean, you're right. I mean, if you go after the guy who's going to get a ton of money, you got to sacrifice in other places. If you go the more economical route at quarterback, then you can splash in other places. You can't splash everywhere. There's a hard salary cap in the NFL. You can't go over it and pay a tax like you can in the NBA. You got to stay under it, and you got to stay under it all season. So
that's right.
Yep. This is what Spielman and Zimmer are trying to figure out literally as we speak.
The next one from Joe Kopecki from Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin. I have a bad feeling opposing offenses are going to use the Eagles' game plan as the blueprint to beat up on the Vikings' defense next year. What do you think, Wobby?
Not going to work, Joe. That's not going to work for a couple reasons. One, Mike Zimmer's too smart for that. Like he probably already knows what happened and has ways to fix it. But secondly, even if Zim like looked at it and was like, gosh, I just can't figure this out. What happened? Guess who's in the building now? DeFilippo.
He said it yesterday.
Who basically helped construct the plan that did it. So he knows. He's going to tell Zim what the problem was.
What DeFilippo said in your interview with him yesterday was, we were full that week just preparing to play Mike Zimmer's defense because once you beat him once, Mike Zimmer knows how to combat it. And he's quick to be able to figure out how to find out what's wrong with his defense. And that was something I took from the interview yesterday. That was pretty cool to hear him say as an opponent facing the Vikings. So, all right, we're going to move on to Jeff Kilty from Sacramento, California. Wobby, thanks for always feeding my Viking fix.
Of course.
I know the combine is a few weeks away and free agency is ahead of that.
No, no, the combine is next week, Jeff.
Yep, Jeff, you're a little off on time. Yeah, man. Here. I'm hoping to see as much content on free agency and draft analysis on the site as possible, even if it's content that points to other sites for information. Hmm. I'm already working on my big board and position rankings.
He is, for sure. Jeff emails me all the time.
That's awesome. Yeah,
that's true, I'm sure.
And I'm looking at key free agent possibilities. Mm-hmm. Your insight is valued and appreciated as always, Skoll.
Aw, thanks, Jeff. Jeff emails me regularly. We go back and forth. We exchange lots of ideas, and I love it. I love the exchange of ideas. I love talking football with other people who love football, like you, Chris. It's fun, right?
It's great.
But I want to put this in here, Chris, because you and I got to get Jeff going here. The combine is not in a few weeks.
That's right.
The combine is like in a few days.
That's something like people don't realize that the season was longer this year because we went further and we had the Super Bowl in Minneapolis, but the combine's right around the corner.
Right. So like, what do we got planned for the combine? Well, we're going to have two camera guys there. We're going to have myself. We're going to have staff writer Eric Smith. We're going to have Cardinal, your compadre running the site behind the scenes, right?
That's right.
You're going to be back here in Minnesota.
Yep.
Along with Lindsay and Craig and Zach, who does all the social stuff.
Yep.
So between you guys back here at home base, and us in Indy, we're going to have people covered for the combine.
We will be churning out content. We promise you that. I know Ryan Cardinal's out there posting all the press conferences from all the prospects, which is over and beyond what any other teams in the NFL do.
Is it?
They don't post everybody's press conferences the way that Cardinal does. So
we're your spot, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have you covered. We'll have the prospect profiles that are coming out shortly after that, going over 50 of the top prospects in college football. So we got you covered when it comes to the combine.
I mean, there are no games, but the action does not stop here.
That's right.
The content that is going to be flowing through Vikings.com is going to be copious. It's going to be nonstop. And on top of all that, PA is going to be out there doing his show two of those days.
Yeah, so we'll have video from that as well as you talking to some of the experts and seeing
some people down.
Yeah. Seeing what some of these people think. We ran into a few at the Super Bowl Radio Row, but man, combine is when everybody's back into it and all teams are ready to go for the new season. So
it's going
to
be a lot of fun, man. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Wobcast, the final one from Winter Park, sadly. But we're gracious and thankful that you guys were listening, and we vow to be back. We'll be back with the Wobcast, possibly from the combine, but definitely once we get back from the combine and we review what we saw in Indy, and Chris and I take a look ahead at free agency and the offseason program that'll be coming up in 2 weeks. But for now, we thank you for listening. On behalf of producer and co-host Chris Corso, I'm Wobby signing off for now. Have a good rest of the weekend, and please remember to check out and enjoy our coverage of the 2018 NFL Scouting Combine next week. See you later.